Good morning, everyone.
I wanna ask you if you're so able to please remain standing for just a reading from the book of Luke, chapter 24. I'll be dealing primarily with the entire chapter on today, so I'm really going to undertake quite a feat to spend 15 minutes trying to preach an entire text like Luke chapter 24. But I want to read the middle portion somewhat of this text, and we'll operate from there. So I'm reading from Luke chapter 24. I'll pick up from verse number 13, and I'll probably terminate at verse number 27. It reads, "Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained." I want you to notice that. "Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know or recognize him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are so sad?' And one of the ones named Cleopas answered and said unto him, 'Are you really a stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there these few days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And so they said to him, 'The things,'" I want you to notice this, "'the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deeds and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things would have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was," notice the term, "was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And when he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the things that the prophet have spoken, ought not Jesus Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?'" Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself." Church, you may have your seats at this time. I want to speak to you for a brief moment on this morning from the subject matter, hope for the troubled soul. Hope for the troubled soul. If you would, just join me for a chorus. I know I didn't give the engineers this song, but this is supposed to be a familiar song to us. "I keep a falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over. Don't you know that he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by? I'm singing, oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And he keeps blessing me over and and over and over and over again. Yeah, he keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over.
I'm singing, oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And he keeps cleansing me over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, he keeps cleansing me over and over and over and over and over. Don't you know that he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by? I'm singing, oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. You know that I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Yeah, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. I'm singing, oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
I just want to say something publicly before we get into our message on this morning. Today, April 7th, will mark officially 3 years since the passing of Sister Dale Pate. And for those of you that are, of course, familiar with Bruce, Bruce facilitates our 5:30 service diligently and without fail. As long as there is breath in his body and there is strength there, he is in our 5:30 service every single Sunday, and he has done that for approximately a decade. And when we were preparing to leave Searcy about 3 years ago, we got here actually in May, and I didn't begin preaching until June. But while we were transitioning and getting ready to leave, I found out that Sister Pate would have passed away. And I'll tell you what, Brother Bruce has... He's been going through the mill of it. When you lose someone like that, it doesn't matter whether it's 3 years, 13 years, 30 years. When you lose someone like that, that pain doesn't really go away. And I know we'll be talking about hope on this morning, but I want us to understand that sometimes we do find ourselves on this side of heaven having to navigate this spiritual journey and this spiritual walk with a feeling of loss, with a feeling of hurt. Some of us go through this life with a hole that really can't be filled, that can only be truly filled by Jesus Christ. And so I just want us to keep Brother Bruce in prayer. I want us to be able to give him his flowers before that day when we're going to have a eulogy and be singing songs. I want us to be able to get to our place as a people that we could give people their roses while they could smell it, where we could show people our appreciation while they are alive. And we should be the type of people that embrace the ability and the opportunities to just lift people up and show our gratitude. So I just want you, he's not here this morning, but if you wouldn't mind just standing with me and just showing appreciation to Brother Bruce for the work he's been doing and his service by lifting him up. Bruce, we love you, we appreciate you, and you stand as a really great example for each and every one of us. Let's just pray. Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you all of the honor and all of the glory. This morning we lift up before you one of your servants, one of our brothers, our friend, Brother Bruce. God, he has been mourning the transition of his beautiful bride, his beautiful wife, for 3 years. And we want to take some time, even on this morning, to lift him up, to build him up. Father, he stands as such a fine example to all of us. We've seen him cry. We have seen him cry out. We have seen him post. We have seen him grieve. We've seen him, Father, and the pictures where week after week he goes to the graveside. And even on this morning, we want to lift him up because we know, or we have some semblance of understanding as to what he might be going through. Father, in our midst here, there are so many individuals who have experienced loss. And sometimes the things that we grieve and the ones that we grieve aren't necessarily the ones who are no longer physically with us. It's not even just the people who have transitioned and gone on to the next stage of life. It's the broken relationships that we once held close. It's individuals who were once spouses. It's individuals who were once dearest of friends. It's people who are family, but now for whatever reason there is a brokenness in those relationships. And so, Father, I know there are many here that are grieving, that are mourning the loss of a loved one. And I'm asking right now that your spirit move mightily in this place, that your spirit move mightily among us, through us, and in us, Father, that the hole that is felt by the loss of these loved ones, that, Father, we would fill this void and fill these holes with your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. So, Father, we thank you for all that you are to us and all that you continue to be. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen, amen. You may have your seats. Hope Church for the Troubled Soul. It is said that hope is the watchman of our hearts that keep us from the clutches of despair. Not too long ago, I was reading and looking up several quotes pertaining to hope, and there were different people that said this quote differently. So I'm going to reflect this quote. I want you to know that this is not original to me, but several people reflected what I'm about to say. And what they reflected is essentially this, that there are three essential things that every human being desires in this life. There are three essential things that is very much pointed at human beings. Number one is that every single person needs someone to love. Every single person needs a work to do, and every single person needs something to hope towards or hope for. And so these three things become essential, and in reality, when we think about this life, sometimes we find ourselves loving after people and loving after things, but when those people and those things are no more, we are filled with that void. Sometimes we find ourselves in labors and we find ourselves doing work, but sometimes we recognize that our labor and our work doesn't necessarily fulfill us. Sometimes we put our hope in things and we put our hope in people, and when the people and the things fail us, we find ourselves in a place of despair. So hear me right here and hear me right now. The person that we are supposed to finding ourselves loving is Jesus Christ. And I know we have people that we want to lean on. I know there are people that we want to love, but Jesus himself said, listen, I want for you to love me more than everybody else. I know that there is good work for us to do out in the world and careers we ought to have, but I need for us to be able to see that we need to be partnering in the work of God, bringing souls to Jesus Christ. And thirdly, if we learn to love Jesus as a top priority, if we learn to put our hands to the plow of the spiritual work that is winning souls to Jesus Christ, then we should have a hope that transcends the physical things in this life. And so hope is said to be this watchman that guards our hearts, that keeps us from the clutches of despair. I want to lean a little bit on the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians verses 8 and 9. He says, hope is the reason why, and he identifies four things. He says, hope is the reason why we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. He said, hope is the reason why we might be perplexed, but not driven to the point of despair. He said, hope is the reason why we are hunted down, but never abandoned by our God. He says, hope is the reason why we might be knocked down, but truly we are never ultimately destroyed. Hope, church, is the thing that builds us up. Hope, church, is the thing that protects us. Hope, therefore, is the thing that preserves us, and hope is the thing that gives us strength. But hope is only as secure as the object that protects it. In other words, when you and I, for example, take our finances that we're trying to safeguard and we're trying to make sure that it's secure, unless you want to lose it, I'm telling you, you put it in a place that nobody, sometimes even you, can't necessarily get to easily. So you would buy a safe, hopefully a good safe, and you would put it in there. And the difference between the safe and a piggy bank is that a piggy bank could easily be taken and dropped to the floor, crack and break, and somebody could take your money. Or a piggy bank could easily be taken up and be stolen. But a safe, or at least the banks would have us to think, a bank is more likely to be the place where an individual can't necessarily walk in and simply steal your money. So when we're talking about hope only being only as secure as the object that protects it, I want us to see that the strength of our hope is really found in the place or the person that we put our hope. So we think about our text, and there are three things. Don't slip the slide yet. There are three avenues of this text I want to navigate really quick before we get into the furtherance of this message. As we think about the text, I want to do something really quickly. I want to talk about the background or backdrop of the text. Then I want to talk about the breakdown on the text, and then we'll talk thirdly and finally about the blessing that we find in the text. So as we think about the background of the text, I want us to see two things from the standpoint of the book of Luke. Luke has already built a case and presented Jesus as the Messiah of all mankind, not just the Jews, but he's the Messiah to everyone. He is not just the Messiah to the religious ones. He is also the Messiah to the unrighteous ones. He is not just the Savior of the so-called supposed people of God. No. He is the Savior of all of the world. And so Luke has already painted a picture of Jesus Christ that he is, in fact, the Messiah of all of us. And we get to a point in chapter number 24 where the crucifixion has already taken place. Unless you think that the crucifixion was actually the high point, it was a key point in the story and the account. But guess what? The crucifixion was not the be-all and end-all of the story. If the crucifixion, though important and vital as it may be, if the crucifixion was the be-all and the end-all of the story, then you and I would not have any type of hope to begin with. If Christ had not risen from the dead, you and I would not have the opportunity to sing the song, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, death no longer has a hold on me. If Jesus didn't raise up from the grave, our story would have an abysmal end. So Luke crescendos, not necessarily with the crucifixion, Luke crescendos with the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. So we make our way into Luke chapter number 24. The crucifixion has just taken place, and it's the third day. And on the third day, we understand that Jesus would have arisen. And within the confines of the chapter, we find four particular chapter breaks. We find, number one, this narrative early on in the text, verses 1 to 12, where Jesus is out of the tomb, and the woman went on Sunday morning to find the empty tomb, only to have a conversation with some angels. That's where the angels would have said to the woman, why are you looking for him here? He is not here. He is not dead, for he has arisen. Then the second pericope we find, the second break in the text, is where we actually took our scripture reading from, where Jesus now joins himself to two disciples that are journeying on the road to Emmaus, and they're trying to make their way down to Jerusalem. The third break in the text would be when Jesus would leave these two, and they would now find themselves in fellowship, eating and speaking to the apostles, the 11, and Jesus ultimately shows up with the two and the 11, and he talks with them. And then the final break in the text is where we have Jesus's ascension, but he does something in the final verses of the text that I want us to see really, really quickly. And we'll get there eventually. So I want us to notice that as we think about the resurrection, as Luke crescendos with the resurrection, here is why the resurrection becomes so important to the story. Jesus' resurrection from the grave meant some things. Number one, it meant that death would not have the final say. Jesus' resurrection meant something. It meant that the shackles of sin were now broken. The resurrection of Jesus from the grave meant something. It meant that the wall of division between man and Jehovah was now torn down. Church, Jesus' resurrection from the grave meant something. It said it meant that we could not only have hope in the present moment, but our hope actually transcends our current circumstances. So we find ourselves in the text, and in the text, I'm almost done, believe it or not, we find ourselves in the text, and as we find ourselves in the text, Jesus has already gone to the cross. Jesus has already died, but now he has arisen. But there is still a sense of despair that is following and looming over his disciples. So much that as Luke paints the picture in chapter number 24 of the angels that speak to the woman, they have a hard time dealing with it. And then the woman convey it to the apostles. They have a hard time handling it. Jesus himself is talking face to face. Though they didn't recognize him with their eyes, they have a hard time getting it. And then later on, Jesus has to show up to everybody. And he has to say, listen, if you guys don't think I'm real, you have any food here? Ghosts don't eat food. So let me prove to you, we run to the part where he says, touch my hands and touch my side and all of that kind of stuff. But he says, let me prove to you that I am real. Ghosts don't eat. What do you have here to eat? Give me something to eat. And so he ate something. And then he said, feel my hands and feel my side. All to prove to them that in their time of despair and in their time of doubt, that what was actually happening in front of them was very much real. For he was trying to help them see that there was hope for their troubled soul. Church, no matter what you're going through, you could still and should be able to utter the words, I still have hope. There's a song, there's a whole chorus that goes, I still have joy, I still have joy. After all the things I've been through, I still have joy. Then it repeats, but with a different way. It says, I still have love. I still have love. After all the things I've been through, I still have love. Then it transitions into this. He says, I still have hope. I still have hope. After all the things I've been through, I still have hope. Maybe you guys have never been in a place of despair. It's really mighty quiet this morning. Maybe you've never really had those type of prayers, or you've never really had those type of moments where you've questioned everything about yourself. You've questioned everything about God. You've questioned everything about life. But ultimately, you could still say, I still have hope. I know you may be walking alone in some things. I know some people may not understand what you're going through. I know you might be in pain. You may not understand why the thing that you are going through now is actually happening to you. But guess what? In Jesus Christ, because your hope is placed in him, it says that you have a hope not only for your present circumstance, but you have a hope that transcends your present circumstance. So he says, I still have hope. Could you repeat that with me? I still have hope. Could you say it like you mean it? I still have hope. I know it might feel hopeless, but believe you me, there is still hope. I know it might look hopeless, but as long as there is breath in your body, could you repeat that one more time as if you're preaching it with some life? I still have hope. 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 Could you just say hope with me? Hope. Let hope be the mantra. Hope. Hope. Put your hand on your chest and say, I still have. I still have. I still have. I still have hope. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter how bad things may be, I know the economy might go up and down. I know people may come and go. I for sure know money comes and goes. No matter what happens in this life, just know that if your hope and your trust and your confidence is in Jesus Christ, nobody could take that away. That was a good place for you guys to shout amen. Because when your hope is in Jesus Christ, no one can take that thing away. Watch this, and I'm almost done. So as we get to the breakdown of the text, watch this really quick. Watch this really quick. You guys have time for this? Watch this really quick. So that was the background. Look at the breakdown of the text. I want to break down really quickly, which I've already kind of done, but I want to break down the text, chapter number 24, really quickly. Again, I told you we had four sections. We had the woman encounter, encounter at the tomb. We have the Emmaus Road encounter between Jesus and the two disciples. Then we have Jesus, the Jerusalem encounter with the disciples, the two on the road to Emmaus and the 11. But then we also have this last section, verses 50 through 53, that's kind of like a section of blessing. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But watch this. The woman coming to terms with what they saw is what we find in the first section. The two disciples coming to terms with what just happened a few days ago is what we find in the second section. The 11 coming to terms with what they heard relayed by the two makes the third section. And Jesus blessing them for the future makes up the crux of the fourth section. The first three sections helps us to see that oftentimes in life, we could fall within any one, if not all, of these three categories. We struggle to come to terms with what we see. They came to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And for whatever reason, they couldn't comprehend what was going on. And we'll talk about that in the final parts. Then secondly, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were struggling as they tried to navigate the events of the past couple of days. They are struggling to make sense of how it is Christ, the Savior, how it is the Messiah, the one who we thought would deliver Israel. How is it that a couple of days ago that he was killed and nailed on a cross? So they are struggling to come to terms with the events of what happened. Isn't it sometimes difficult for us when we see what's going on in life, when we see what's going on in society, it's hard for us to come to grips and come to grasp with what we see. But isn't it true sometimes that when we try to make sense of our life, why did this happen? It happened so suddenly. Why am I going through this? Out of nowhere, this thing came out. It's hard for us sometimes to come to terms with what has happened. But sometimes it's even harder to come to grips sometimes with what you've heard. When you hear truth, truth isn't always something that you quickly grasp. Truth isn't something always that you quickly comprehend. Truth isn't something that you easily take to heart. And so even though Jesus is speaking to the 13 individuals in this space, in this place, pericope number 3, but they are having a hard time coming to grips with what he is saying. Truth is talking to them, but their heart is having a hard time grasping. They're having a hard time comprehending. They're having a hard time letting go. So that brings me to the final aspect of this brief exhortation, where I really want to call the blessing aspect of this text. Because as you pull in all of chapter number 24, you find that there is a blessing in the text that Luke identifies to us throughout all of verses 1 all the way down to the end of the book. I just want to list these, and the message will be yours as we think about the blessings that we find within the confines of this text. Number 1, I want you to listen to these. Don't allow your eyes to cause you to forget what Jesus already said to you. When the angels have to speak to Mary and the other woman that were there, when they saw the tomb, it is not as if Jesus didn't already speak to them prior and tell them that, listen, I was going to come. I was going to be killed. I was going to be taken by these rulers and crucified. It's not as if Jesus didn't foretell. It wasn't as if Jesus didn't tell them beforehand, but they allowed what they saw and they allowed what they experienced to make them forget the very word of truth that Jesus Christ would have shared with them. Sometimes the abysmal things that are ahead of us, sometimes the chaos that we do see often brings us to a place where we forget the very word of God. So that's why scripture would tell us, hide God's word in our heart that it will not depart from us. That is why it would tell us that we need to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman or workwoman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The reason why it is we need that word is because there are going to come times when we need to pull from the word. But if we don't have anything to pull from, I guarantee you, when the tough times come, you will fall. I'm not making a suggestion here. I'm giving you an absolute fact. If you do not have the word of God within you that you can recall in your times of difficulty, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. When the difficult times come, when the challenges come, when the troubles come, when you go through heartbreak, when you have that hole, when you're going through your despair, it's not a matter of if. You will. You will. You will fall. So here's the blessing that we find in the text. Do not allow your eyes to cause you to forget what Jesus said. In other words, don't allow your external circumstance to determine what you know about God. Number two, don't let your human idea of Jesus, this one is good. Don't allow your human idea of Jesus to distort Yahweh's purpose of Jesus. They were all like, well, we thought as they were rehashing everything, they were preaching gospel, but here's where they got it wrong. They got it wrong because they made a statement, well, we thought that he was going to be the one to be the deliverer for Israel. What they were really saying was that we thought that this Jesus guy that we were following all along, he was going to come and he was going to take Israelites' necks from under the foot of Roman colonization. In other words, he was saying, we had a different view of Jesus. So what he did on the cross and his dying on the cross makes no sense to us. And sometimes we have a hard time coming to terms with who Jesus is and his purpose and God's plan, because each one of us have a different viewpoint of who Jesus is. Some of us think that Jesus is our bank, that when we need, we could just pray for things and we're going to get it. And when we don't get it, we question and we doubt God. Some of us think that Jesus is the entity that every time we are in need, we just go to him for something and he should be right there to answer the way that we want. I'm telling you, we treat Jesus like an ATM machine. But our human ideas sometimes distort Yahweh's purpose and plans and picture of Jesus. Baby girl, I promise you, I got two more and I'm done. Number three, don't let the shock. You guys want to hear this one? Here's the blessing of the text. Don't let the shock, say shock. Don't let the shock of your past experiences nor your present hurt keep you from seeing God's plan. You ever been there before? Where you've had some trauma, both past and present, and for whatever reason, the trauma, even though it might have been a trauma for some time or a recent trauma, you're in that pain, you're in that moment, and because you're in that pain and you're in that moment, because you have yet to deal with your trauma and you have yet to deal with your pain, it keeps us from seeing God's plan. It's oftentimes when we go through our difficulties that I often try to tell people that you need to always have a heavenly perspective. That no matter what you're going through, if in fact it is bad and some of it is terrible sometimes, when you're going through your terrible times, you need to have a godly perspective and a divine view that says there is ultimately some good in here somewhere. That's a hard place to be when you're going through the thick of things. And you have the wherewithal within yourself to say, I know it's bad, but because my hope is in a God that always has a plan for everyone and everything, there is some type of good in here for me. And oftentimes, because we don't have that perspective, we run. Oftentimes, because we don't have that divine perspective, we turn away. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we find ourselves running away from where God actually has appointed and called us to be. So I need for us to see that the blessing in the text is that we need not let the shock of our past experiences, nor present hope, keep us from seeing God's plan and even his purpose for each and every single one of us. And finally, as I close, here is the blessing in the text. The blessing in the text number 4, the blessing that keeps on blessing us is that Christ didn't stay dead, but he truly is arisen. I wish we treated today like we did last week. I wish we would recognize that every single Sunday we are blessed to be here is reflective of our resurrection Sunday. I'm happy for Christmas. I'm happy for Easter. But we make those things so periodical that Easter full. Everybody's happy. Everybody's praise God, amen. But the very next Sunday, after Easter, you get the picture? I would have thought that this place we would have had standing room only today. But that's the mentality where we compartmentalize and we sectionalize certain spiritual things. Well, listen, today is our resurrection Sunday for us because we don't know when, but we do know about 2,000 plus years ago on a Sunday he rose. So I know we were glad to celebrate him last week, but guess what? We have an opportunity today to celebrate him too. And if God spares life, next Sunday will be another resurrection Sunday. I hope we come dressed up. I hope we come prepared. I hope we come with a praise to say we honor you for you are glorious. I hope every single Sunday we get to see, we come with a sacrifice of praise. Because the blessing in the text is that he keeps on blessing us because he didn't stay in the grave. Not only did he resurrect, but the scripture says he ascended. I gotta be done. Not only did he resurrect, watch this. The scripture says he ascended. It was Jesus who said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves could break in and steal. Watch it now. I'm trying to show you the personification of this. He says, but lay up for yourself your treasure in heaven. In other words, if you put your hope in me, guess what? Your hope will be where I am. The grave couldn't hold me, so your hope is not in the grave. The cross couldn't keep me down, so it's not necessarily the death of the cross. I'm not here right now physically, so nobody could really steal your joy unless you give it away. I am where the Father is. So if you put your trust in me, I wish somebody heard it. If you put your confidence in me, if you put your hope in me, guess what? Your hope will be preserved, and it's reserved for you in heaven. So he tells them before he leaves. He foretold us. He tells them before, could we stand? I'm done. He tells them before he leaves. He already told them, I'm going to die. They began to become despondent. They started to cry. They started to weep. And he says to them, listen, let not your heart be troubled. Anybody here with some trouble in their life? Anybody here? You don't have to raise your hand. You could tap your toes. Anybody here having marital issues? Anybody here having family issues? Anybody here having, don't raise your hand, because you know how we could be sometimes, just tap your toe. Anybody here having identity issues? Anybody here having faith issues? You're struggling in your faith, you want to walk one particular way, but you still have one foot in the world. Anybody here have relationship issues? I'm trying to help you to understand. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. That is to suggest I'm not a liar. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, check it, I'll come again and receive you. The blessing in the text is that when he rose from the grave, he continues to bless us even today. He rose, but he didn't just raise, he ascended. And if he ascended, here's what the blessing says, he's going to come back. So you know what the coming back says? I need for you to be faithful. I know you're going to have some hard times, but put your trust in me. I know you're going to have some difficult times, but put your confidence in me. I know things might be get despondent at times, but put your hope in me because I have it in a place where nobody could take it. He says, if I come again, I'll come and receive you unto myself. Watch it. That way I am. That where I am, there you will be also. If you give me your hope, I'll take it to glory. I'll leave it there, but I'll come back. And when I come back, I'll take you so that you could go get. Thomas, if you give him your hope, he'll take it into glory. He'll leave it there. It will mature. It will earn interest. But then he's going to come back. But when he comes back, he's coming back for you. But when he comes back for you, he's going to take you to get your glory, where you will dwell with God for eternity. If that doesn't give you hope in times of trouble, then your spiritual wood is wet. I want to encourage every single one of us this morning. I'm past time. I'm sorry. Let me apologize. I'm past time, but I want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, because he not only was risen, but because he is currently at the right hand of the Father, you and I have hope as we go through our times of trouble. If you believe that, say amen. If God's been good to you, say amen. Amen. If you serve a risen Savior, say amen. Amen. Let's sing our song of encouragement.